scripture this morning comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing the same feelings, focusing on one goal. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. May God bless the reading and receiving of His Word.
How many friends do you have? Hold on a sec. Excuse me, not now. I mean friends, not just acquaintances. What makes them friends? Okay. All right. Yeah, no, I'm in church. Okay. All right, bye. Sorry about that. Not just acquaintances. And what makes them friends? And how do you stay connected with them? Especially in this fast-paced, technologically advanced, postmodern era. We have fast computers. We have email. We have internet. We even have cell phones that keep us connected, even in the middle of the woods, in the middle of the snow, in Kentucky, in December. I got all kinds of phone calls when I was sitting in a deer stand in Kentucky. Fortunately, I had it on vibrate. That philosopher, singer, who, in my warped way of looking at things, often has more of a touch on reality than many, even those in my profession. Jimmy Buffett sings, "Everybody's on the phone, so connected and all alone. From the pizza boy to socialites, we all salute the satellites. Won't you text me with your master plan? You're loud and clear, but I don't understand. I'm a digital explorer in analog Rome, and everybody's on the phone." He even sings in one verse, "Do you remember dialing up? Yes, I remember well. Now, I just can't go anywhere without my sacred cell. I think that I might die if I miss anything at all. Text me, send an email, ring me up, give me a call. I'm ADD on AOL and I can read the writing on the wall." And then he goes back into the chorus. Everybody's on the phone. So connected and all alone. We think we are so connected. We have these things that ring. And we can bounce signals off of satellites. Amazing technology. And we think that puts us in touch. We have internet. We have email. And we think we're in touch. We have television, news round the clock, and just about anything else you can imagine around the clock. We think we're so connected, but how many of us are like a digital explorer in analog Rome and everybody's on the phone? It's a recognition that we really are not as connected as we think. Because connectivity, if it is truly meaningful and if it has any depth and if it's really going to make a great deal of difference in our lives, that connectivity can't just be sent through the airwaves electronically. There has to be some connection at a deeper level between us. So yes, once again, I've proven myself to be a little bit strange. But there is a purpose with the cell phone ringing and with this song from Jimmy Buffett and the scripture passage today. When Paul is speaking in this passage to the Philippians, he is dealing with a church that seems in some ways to be so on top of things. This church is a church that was very concerned later on about Epaphroditus, who was a co-minister with Paul and sharing the gospel, and he was very ill, and they wrote to Paul about that. And they wanted to continue to remember him in prayer, and Paul thanks them for that connection that they had made. They thought they really were connected. And yet, Paul deals with a church that is really disconnected in many ways. They're disconnected from each other. Sure, they have that concern for Paul, who is in prison. They have that concern for Epaphroditus. They have a concern for Timothy. But they're disconnected from those around them. Those sitting on the floor when they meet together to worship. Those walking down the street whom they pass and never really see. And they're disconnected not just from each other on a surface level, but also they're disconnected from the unity which they need to really perform their mission and their ministry. And that mission and ministry is to reach out to those in need, even some within the church, and establish friendships. In other words, connect. Establish friendships and partnerships with them. Friendships can be on all kinds of levels, as can partnerships. But generally, if we partner with those who are friends, we connect on deeper levels because we have something to invest, just as they invest within us. Ernest Scott writes, "The church had become divided not by doctrinal issues, as in Galatians and Corinth, but by personal animosities and personal situations. The Christians were a small community in which every individual was conscious of his or her own importance. Instead of all working together in the great cause, the Philippian Christians were distracted by feuds and rivalries." In other words, they were disconnected. And Paul pleads with them here to overcome personal ambition, to humble themselves, and to work together in friendship and in love. The passage immediately after this is an early Christ hymn that begins, "Have this mind among yourselves, which was that in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant." It is a hymn speaking to Christ's self-humiliation. And that's really what it was. It wasn't just humility. It was self-humiliation on our behalf. But leading into that, Paul pleads with them to overcome their own personal ambitions, to humble themselves, to work in friendship and love. At the end of chapter 1, Paul had been talking about his imprisonment. And he speaks of it as a testimony to the faith that sustained him, even in prison. A faith that brings humility and leads to friendship with Christ. And if friendship with Christ, consequently, friendship and partnership with others. He then addresses the same idea here at the beginning of chapter 2 with the Philippians. And he says, as self gets in the way, persons are defeated in their relationships. As self gets in the way, we're defeated in our relationships. We're supposed to help lead not only ourselves, but the world into God's presence and grace. And how do we do that? Not through this connection, but through friendships and partnerships, face-to-face connection. He is saying that they should work together harmoniously in the cause of the gospel. They're to remember that Christ, though the same in nature as God, lived as a human and can not only sympathize with us, but Christ can empathize with us and with our human weakness. For Christ got hungry. Christ got tired. And before He died, Christ even got a little bit scared and said, Father, if there's any other way. If they are to fully participate in the love and power of Jesus the Christ and His particular Spirit, then they should follow that example and complete Paul's joy by being of the same mind. And what he means here is not conformity, but the disposition of their mind. Their unity in mission and in purpose should be the same. And he says that will result in harmony. Harmony between these individuals and their neighbors. Harmony within the church. Harmony between them and God. They will have and share a common love and a common purpose as their friendships in Christ bring them together. In other words, as their friendships in Christ give them a connectivity that they don't have otherwise. Now, while some see the essentials of our religion in particular creeds, particular rites of worship, particular social and moral behaviors, Paul's idea is a condition of the mind, not keeping a particular set of rules and regulations, but rather a condition of the mind that brings about the same attitude to life and the same desire to know God and to live in connection with God and with others on more than just coming together and worshiping in corporate worship. Though they have differences, they can understand each other and find a unity of mind and purpose. Unity in diversity, yet diversity with that unity. Paul dwells on the mind because of that inward disposition that should characterize our relationships. Our relationships with God, yes. But almost as important, our relationships with each other. As he continues, Paul urges them even more to look to the common or larger good, having a true humility. And the word humility here, literally the word for humility in the Greek text means low-mindedness. Now, that doesn't mean we start singing, I got friends in low places. But a low-mindedness which counts others as better than ourselves and seeks in part to always try to better ourselves so that we can be what we are to be with others. It means to give away self to neighbor as friend and friend. To see them as more worthy of the love and the grace that you have to give than keeping it to yourself. Becoming connected and not alone. It is to recognize that others have fine qualities and seek to build them up. Not just the person, but seek to help them in building their qualities so that that can be shared with others. Which allows for the possibility to become connected for real and not just in a pseudo fashion, but become connected for real as we attain a spiritual friendship. Paul J. Waddell writes of a school of Christian love, and I quote, that connects us as true friends and as true friends of God. St. Augustine wrote, "Friends are gifts entrusted to us by God for His providential purposes." They're not just people to be used. They're people with whom we connect, and they have been entrusted to us by God to help accomplish God's purposes. Waddell states, "We are called to represent the love and goodness of God in the world. But there have to be places where we can learn what this means. And one of those places is in our best and most enduring friendships. We don't just represent God's love." He says we are to re-present. To present it again. And again. And again. Here we can become more expert at showing kindness and patience, mercy and compassion, and even joy for those relationships. When we find ourselves learning in a school of Christian love, then we can recognize that, and I quote, "God works in the ordinary settings of life, not apart from but through the people with whom we are most intimately connected." Ordinary settings of life. We need to ask if our relationships make us better persons, if they help us to grow in goodness and respect, not just for God, but goodness and respect for each other, and if they help lead us closer to God and subsequently those who sit next to us in church, or in school, or at work, or who walk down our street. Or do our relationships make it easier for us to remain bitter, to gossip, to be unforgiving? Do they help us become connected, or do they keep us aloof and alone as we wander, another line from the song, as a digital explorer in an analog zone? Talk about being disconnected. Use these terms in part, and I hope you understand digital and analog at least a little bit. If for nothing else, then they've been blasting it all over the airwaves about your television for the last 7 or 8 months. And how if you don't have that connection, that proper connection, you're going to lose your signal. And it's going to be snowing. Wouldn't we like that? No. It's going to be snowing on your television screen. And you won't get anything. No news, nothing. The 12th century Cistercian monk, Aelred of Rivelot, wrote about spiritual friendship. He speaks of disconnected friendships as carnal and worldly friendships, both of which emphasize self in hardening hearts and elevating self-image above all others. Spiritual friendships, he said, do not pull us out of our ordinary lives, but help us to find Christ and grow together in Christ in our ordinary daily lives. This is a shared desire in spiritual friendships. It doesn't mean that all we talk about is spiritual things. But it helps us recognize that friendships move us along in Christian living, and we therefore can help others to be better friends of God. Such friendships, first of all, draw us out of self-sufficiency and self-interest. Draw us out of selfishness and teach us how to care for others for their sake, not for what we can get out of them. To do this, we must be willing to do the hard work of overcoming self-absorption, to find joy in serving others and learn true patience, humility, faithfulness, and even perseverance, because sometimes even those with whom we are connected and with whom we are friends can try our patience and leave us exasperated. Secondly, such connected friends teach us about ourselves and how we can grow in love. Aristotle once said that a good friend is like a mirror. They show us ourselves. And that can be dangerous. Good friends help us to move beyond a hurt. Good friends help us to not be too anxious. Good friends help us to stay closer to God. Thirdly, they can challenge us to expand the boundaries of our own world. They should challenge us to reach out to others and not just to those who are in our little clique or who are like us or had the good taste to like us first. Thomas Aquinas, that great theologian of the developing church in the Middle Ages, said, "Charity calls us to love as neighbor everyone who is beloved and befriended by God." That's a hard task. And a true challenge, because you see, God extends love and friendship to all persons, even those who are not like us, even those with whom we don't agree. Only when we work within those kinds of friendships can we find ourselves connected and not alone. To do otherwise, we may think we're connected, but we will find ourselves lonely and missing. Missing all of those things that God has for us in other persons. So, do we find ourselves hustling so much in life, or to avoid close living, that we feel like the character in Buffett's song, so connected yet all alone? Digital explorers in analog Rome, and nobody on our phone who can keep us grounded. Paul says if we follow Christ's example of humility, patience, gentleness, forgiveness, and a deep friendship type of love, if we find that unity to which God calls us, that sense of self-humiliation that Christ commands of us, then we can find and give God's grace to others. Others who feel connected and yet really all alone. And in doing so, we will find connectivity and grace from which there can be no escape, because it is grounded in God's love and it lifts us up even when we feel disconnected and all alone. May we pray. O Lord our God, we are called to be your people, to show your grace, to show your love, and yet sometimes When we think we're connected, we find ourselves all alone. Help us. Help us to find that sense of true friendship and humility, not only with you, but with others around us, so that we might truly share as we connect and as we share your grace to a world in need of friends. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is 429. And it speaks to those friendships and that connection. It's a challenge. And as we stand and sing, they'll know we are Christians. Our altar is open for any decision that you might wish to make on behalf of your relationship with God and, as importantly, with each other. Number 429, they'll know we are Christians.